Okay, now that I take was speaking against the amendment. Brian.
I think we're overthinking this. It's really, you can't ask your management to draw up a set of goals and in the same breath tell them what the goals are. You know? I mean, you give them the goals. The CAB has a statutory right and responsibility to then review those goals, propose changes, modifications, but you're kind of like putting the cart before the horse here. And we're also, on that list of things, throwing in stuff that's not programming. I mean, let's not make a mess here. Management should be coming up with programming goals. We have a permanent program director for the first time in my 12 years at this station. That's great. This is part of her job. Let's remind her of it. And then let's take the next step when we get there.
I agree.
You've spoken twice, Frank, I think.
I think one was on the amendment, one was on the original motion.
Okay, does anybody else have anything to say? Frank.
I totally agree with what Brian just said, but in my belief is that the work that the CAB has done should be taken into consideration when they do that job. And they have just compiled all this information into this report. I feel that it's kind of important that he or she, the PD and the general manager, take into consideration some of the information in the report that they just spent months compiling.
Margie,
and we're not trying to state their goals. We're just trying to offer additional information to maybe help clarify their goals in the eyes of the public input.
Margie, Mel, Janet.
I have no reason to think that Quincy and Laura will not read the CAB report and will not take it seriously. I think that's offensive to act as if that's the case. The report is addressed to General Manager Quincy McCoy. If he's received a copy of it, I believe he will read it and take it seriously. And to, you know, act, to say, by the way, we want you to take this something seriously, it's just offensive to me. There was a PMB motion passed. Quincy probably doesn't know about it. Laura may or may not know about it. So we'll remind him of it. I think that's a good idea. That's all I think is a good idea. I don't think we need to scold people who, you know, there's no reason to believe that they're not going to read the CAB report and take it seriously. If it turns out that that's the case, then we'll talk about it. But there's no reason to make that assumption ahead of time.
Mel, Janet, okay. All right, we're going to now vote on the amendment, which was, are you going to read it again? As I understand it, that it changes the time to
October,
and it takes out all the extra language, so that's essentially the PNB a report that was referenced in the CAB report.
Right.
Okay. Can we do this by raising hands? The motion that was referenced in the paper that talks about the PNB motion,
right,
that was passed, da da da, blah blah blah.
And all I did was change.
You've got to use the microphone.
I just changed May to October 1st, that's
all. And took stuff out.
Well, yeah, stuff. Yeah, it's not on the written page, right, probably, that Janet has, but it was submitted, and I have it here.
Right, okay. All right, so all in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All those opposed to the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. All those, abstaining. 3. Okay, the motion passes. So now we will vote on the main amendment, which is that we're asking management to provide a report by October, as referenced earlier. What's anyway? All in. What? The motion as amended. Okay. All in favor, please raise your hand. All opposed? It's unanimous.
Oh, okay.
Okay. There were no abstentions. Were there? Okay. I didn't see any. Okay, Brian.
I just want to address the issue of CAB membership that Janet put on our agenda. My motion is as follows. I move that we appoint Jennifer Fazio and Carol Wolfley to serve as pro tem CAB members until the LSB makes permanent appointments, and publicly notice that we will consider permanent appointments to the CAB at the LSB's August meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
Janet.
So I'm a little confused. Well, first of all, I want to know whether there's a timing issue. Second, it's my understanding that I don't think Carol Wolfley needs to be interim because I think her term is not up yet. And I don't, the other, so can there be some clarification about
I'm sorry, maybe I misread your report. I thought you said your terms were expiring in the report.
Can Mike speak?
Yes.
Okay, there were two different resolutions from the PNB. One was in 2009 that said the terms were 2 years, and then in 2010 it was changed to 3 years. So there was some confusion, which Janet cleared up. So at this point, we have 7 members on the CAB. In February, we had 4 new applicants to the CAB, and here are their applications. And I tried to contact Craig 3 times to see about getting it on the agenda, and he hasn't been able to do it, and there was some confusion. People are welcome to look at those. One of the people...
Go ahead.
One of the people is from Marin and has worked with Code Pink. Another person has done a lot of work.
Actually, I think you're going beyond what we were talking
but
about.
I wanted to know about the timing issue of...
I was just saying about the timing, Janet, that these people have applied in February, so I would like to be able to, in a courteous, considerate way, get back to them and let them know, rather than wait till August to say, you know, you applied to the CAB in February, and maybe we'll let you know in August whether or not you can be on the board.
Okay, what's on the table here procedurally is a motion that, what is it again, Brian? Or Margie, do you want to read it? What is it?
He hasn't given it to me yet.
It wasn't, yeah, it was seconded, wasn't it? Yeah.
So I'm just trying to clarify, because the last written communication I have from you says Robin, Jennifer, and Carol Wolfley's terms expire in May of 2015. Are you now saying that's not the case?
That's not the case.
Okay.
If you're going to speak...
Okay. Can you pass the mic? Yeah. All right, so is the action... So I'm confused about what you're asking the board to do. Are you asking the board to appoint new CAB members now?
Yes, that's what Carol is asking.
I will withdraw my motion, but I am not going to vote on CAB members whose applications were just handed out to me now and without a discussion of how the opening's been publicized.
Okay.
And I'm sorry that they applied in February, but it's not respectful to them to not give us the application until the day of the meeting if you think they need prompt attention.
Okay. Janet.
Okay, so I think the issue is that it's not like we'd be violating any requirements by not appointing new CAB members today.
Right.
It's just a matter of courtesy to the people who did apply in February, and they applied through the CAB at the event, not to us. Anyway, so... Can we agree then to take this up in July, at the July meeting, rather than waiting till August? At least it'll be a little, and then maybe Carol can communicate to the candidates or one of you about that.
Margie, Mal, Brian.
Okay, I have a motion. I'm sorry, I have a motion. My motion is that the CAB forward the applications of the people who have currently applied, along with a report about how the openings were advertised to the PMB, to the LSP, and that and that we put this item on our agenda for July, provided that we have that information prior to the July meeting. So does that make sense? That there be that we want the applications. We want a report of how the positions were advertised, and that we will deal with this issue at the July meeting, provided we have the materials, say, 1 week in advance of the LSP meeting. Thank you. Thank you.
Why so late? They've already got the applications.
Oh.
Okay. Right. So, okay.
You sent the applications?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I thought it was on the list of names. Oh, I never saw it.
We never saw it. Janet.
Okay, so apparently, I don't know if anybody else has tried to communicate with the LSB through the website. Maybe that's not working. So the email address is kpfalsb@googlegroups.com. That will get through. And I understand there was a CART about the CAB, you know, trying to recruit.
We just want a report.
Trying to recruit CAB members, but that did not play on the air for some reason.
Okay, anyway, all right. We've got a motion on the floor. I want to call people's attention to the fact that the agenda that we agreed to ended at 2:45 and it's now 3:15. Just for your information. So, let's have the vote. It's moved and seconded that we'll get a report through the Google Groups, our address with their names and their stuff, and also an indication about how this was advertised, and if other applications come in before July, they would also be considered, I presume.
Yes.
So, all in favor? Any objections? Seeing none. Passed. Okay. I'm flying through then, in spite of the fact that we've not asked for an extension. Okay, we do not have anybody here from KFCF. And old business, the bylaw amendments, are you doing? You told us about that in the PNB report, right? So that's gone. Andre is not here. Or you want to talk about that? Okay, that's the subject that we kind of put off based out of
the
gentleman. The
motion that I submitted.
Okay, which was?
Which. Yeah, Mark, you can.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Wait a minute.
Oh, it was about.
Right. Yeah.
I have it.
She has it. Okay.
All right. Move that the KPFA LSB be provided with a revised budget that includes the general manager's proposed and actual unbudgeted spending of the two bequests totaling $958,000 at the July meeting so that the board can reconsider the 2015 budget and consider other proposals for budgeting that money and approve the updated budget.
If I was an experienced Robert's Rules chair, this would be better. I think he's already given us his stuff that he believes in this. So you're asking for it again?
No, I'm asking for a revised budget that includes his proposals and also to discuss, I mean, other or to.
Aren't you really interested in what he wants to do with this money?
I'm interested in the budget, our responsibility to approve any budget. And this, the money that came in was not, and some expenditures made on it, that bequeathal, was not budgeted. So so we need to, but we didn't approve that.
Okay.
Wait, you know, so for me being a local station board member, I do not approve of the management just deciding on its own how to spend money. We have a responsibility. But there are other, we know that Andrea proposed something about a development director, that be paid out of that. So that's another possibility for the expenditure of that money. So we need to discuss that. We need to see a budget or approve a budget of the expenditure of that.
My confusion about this, which I may not be saying well, and may miss the point of what you're saying, is that we're coming to the end of the 2015 budget, and we're supposed to be talking about the 2016 budget, and that's a separate discussion from what happens with the bequest money. And the bequest money, what has happened is that Quincy has given us this month a plan for what he thinks should happen to the bequest money. It's not a foregone conclusion that it's happened. Brian says it hasn't happened.
Some of it has. He's already spent some of it.
Well, what I understand that what was spent was the loan that's a prepay to the PNB that goes to Texas, not really, you know, that's over time expenditure. I mean, what we want to do is have a framework to talk about in the July meeting, the money, the extra money, and we want to start dealing with the 2016 budget. And what you're putting on the table is the 2015 budget, and I don't get it. But anyway.
Well, but, I mean, there was money spent on carpets. I mean, not that much, but that was not budgeted, already spent from that money. Just spending money, you get a check and you spend on this and this without it being part of the budget, a formal part of the budget. That's what I'm talking about. And we need to approve anything like that, and then maybe other proposals. And so we should have a meeting in June then.
Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't have the Brian.
Is anybody else part of this meeting?
Brian.
I have a substitute that I'd like to propose. The LSB endorses and ratifies the spending priorities outlined in the first two columns of the General Manager's Report and commits itself to beginning work on a capital campaign to raise money to pay for the items in column 3 without further depleting the reserves created by the station's windfall bequests.
Is there a second?
Second. I'll speak to it. I get what Janet's saying about the budget, but I don't think there's a point in reopening the 2015 budget 2 months before the end of fiscal year 2015. A budget's not a contract, it's a plan. We had $1 million more come in than planned. What they've done with the money so far, the elevator pit, we were cited on an inspection. We would have been fined if we did not spend money to prepare that. The carpet is a trip hazard. Management has a responsibility to abate hazards in the building. And we're talking about, ten-figure amounts in a seven-figure budget. The lion's share of the money they're proposing in those first two columns is how big a reserve we should have. And if anything, I think 2 months is not conservative enough. And the things in the third column are things that can potentially wait. New membership software, I happen to think it's a good idea. $75,000 elevator fix. Probably better to do it before the elevator breaks, but we can wait. And same goes for painting. Those are also the kinds of things that it's easiest to ask major donors for. So I say, you know, instead of saying we have the money, let's try to raise as much as we can before we burn down what we have in reserves. But everything else that's in those first two columns is sensible, and I think probably non-controversial. Or already happened, so moot.
Okay, so we have this substitute motion on the table. And Mal, you're talking to them.
Well, it seems to me that Janet's proposal makes perfect sense. I mean, this money is being applied.
We're now talking about Brian's proposal.
But I know, but this
okay.
This is why I would vote against it. Yes, I would vote against Brian. Actually, I'd vote for him, but not on this motion. This money is being applied in the 2015 budget, and therefore, Janet is correct that we ought to have a say in how it's applied. That's all. I mean, it just seems perfectly logical to me.
Frank.
I agree with what Janet and Mal have just said. But I also feel like there's a whole lot of staff representation, an unpaid staff representation that's not really reflected here. Having 2 months salary reserves, it's great. It is great. I get a
I think you're off topic. We're deciding what we're going to talk substantively about this subject, I think.
Well, I think he's like in the substitute motion includes the first column, and I think part of the major lion's share that he referred to in the first column is protects the salaries of two-month salary, and that's great. Like 80% of the station don't get a salary. You know, so there's a lot of say in where that money can go, and I don't know how it works. Yeah. It's great to have reserves for that, I'm sure. But I think I would agree with what Janet said. And I'm not an expert budgeter and how the budget works. I struggle sometimes to understand it, but I do feel that we all need to have a say in where the money does get spent. There are other things that people want to say, so I think if we – I'm just not so convinced that the first two are all A-OK and unchallenged.
On procedure, I'm sorry, I stepped out for a minute. I take it that this motion is a substitute?
Yes.
I don't have the original motion that it's
substitute.
You gave it
to
me? I couldn't find it.
It's got all these yellow papers in it. It doesn't know what the hell they are.
No, it's not here. It's not here. Just
what's that? What's that one? That's flying off there.
Yeah, no, that's this is okay. This is the report. I'm sorry.
No. Is one under your computer? Is that it?
I gave it to Margie. I prefer not to write it out again. I emailed it.
Okay. All right. So
you'll read it. How's that? If we get to that. Okay. Brian next?
One more question. Who seconded Janet's original motion?
I thought it was David.
David. Okay. Okay.
All right, Brian.
I mean, I think having reserves in the bank is just a question of prudence. You know, if the station were to get torn asunder by an earthquake tomorrow and go off the air, and realizing it had no way to raise any further money, lay off the entirety of its staff, it would still have to pay them all of their accrued vacation. In my case, at this point, that would be 7.5 weeks' pay. I mean, having less, and that's a legal obligation. That is something that the Department of Labor will send someone with a badge to your door and threaten you with jail time in order to enforce. We know because we've had people with badges show up when WBAI defaulted on payroll.
They had guns.
It's a very basic, prudent practice to have a cushion in the bank, so that you have a way to pay the bills if everything does not go precisely according to plan. And it's been really horrible that we've been operating without a reserve in the bank for the past year.
Scary.
And it's not about making any kind of guarantee for employees. It's about making sure that the station's viable in the face of the unexpected. And that's the only major priority here. Aside from that, in column one, the water abatement in the elevator, which they've already done, $18,000 worth of carpet replacements, catch-up payments to the Pacifica Radio Archive, it's money we owe, this emergency loan for WBAI's payroll that we were apparently made to make, and the $100,000 to KPFT, which is pursuant to a PNB policy that was already approved to replace their transmitter. And there's replacement money for the fund drives, which I guess you can make a case for endless fund drives. We're just going to have to disagree on that. And I don't know how we go to our listeners making the case that what we're asking them for is the money we need to run the station, and that's why we're imposing on them for 4 weeks at a time when, in fact, we have money from other sources. It's dishonest, and in the long run, it kills our audience.
Janet and Mail.
Yeah, I agree it's prudent to have reserves. And that's why one of the reasons I voted against the 2015 budget, I was arguing for that. So why all of a sudden now? It's a good idea, but we need to discuss it. I don't think that's a good enough reason. Sorry.
Mal.
Well, I'm sure that in the long run, I'm going to vote for most. Or all of the things that management proposes here, but as a matter of principle, we should get the chance to talk about them, because it's our roles to do the budget.
Okay, I think what we've got is something. Okay. We've got Brian's substitute motion on the floor. Margie, would you read it, please, using the microphone?
The LSB endorses and ratifies the spending priorities outlined in the first two columns of the general manager's report and commits itself to beginning work on a capital campaign to raise money to pay for the items in column three without further depleting the reserves created by the station's windfall. I don't know what this is. Oh, bequests.
Okay. Would everybody in favor of that please raise your hands? So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in favor. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It passes. And one abstention. Okay, so it passes. And therefore, now, do we have to vote on it as the main motion?
Yep.
Okay. So all of those in favor of what is now on the floor as the main motion, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All opposed? Abstain? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. So it passes. Okay. Now we've got LSB subcommittees. Janet.
Well, I'm trying to pull up the motion from the last meeting, and my computer is not working. But I did send it out. I don't know if some. If you give me a moment, I can try to do it. Basically, it's to form a ad hoc subcommittee to look into what kind of subcommittees this local station board could use. I mean, that's
okay. So you want to have that as the motion? I mean, it's an old business, but that reflects what you said.
In the meantime, I'll look for the original language.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this? Mal, use the mic.
Just has it been moved and seconded?
Yeah, at a previous meeting, okay. Correct? Yes. Janet.
Yeah. So I wanted to speak a little bit on it. I mean, there are certain tasks that are...
point of order. Sorry.
Yes.
A motion to create a committee must include how many members are on the committee and how they are to be selected. You can't make a motion to make a committee unless it includes the number of members on the committee and how the members are chosen.
I think I did, but I don't. I can't remember whether, you know... The language.
We'll just make it up.
Okay. So up to 5 members, volunteers.
Great. Perfect.
Is that?
Oh. That's perfect. It's a subcommittee of this LSB, right?
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion?
Ad hoc.
Yeah.
Any discussion? Any questions? Any objections? It sounds like you got it.
So, and it also was by the and report back at the July meeting. So that would mean that there would have the subcommittee would have to be formed between now and then and do its work. And
okay. Well, you said volunteers. So
yes.
People who are interested in being on that subcommittee, let Janet know. And it's up to 5 members, and if you don't get anybody else, you'll come back with your recommendations.
Okay, and then, you know, I'm going to send it out to, or somebody needs to send it out to the list, because
those
who are not here.
I'll do it as
right.
The secretary.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, moving right along. And I just want to say that it is now 3:36, and again, we did not extend the time, but I'm presuming we are ending at 4:00. Which had historically been the longest we would run. And we are now on item 14, which is the Gary Knoll issue. We said for 15 minutes, which would mean that we actually might end before 4:00. Can I get a list? Who's?
Well, we need something on the floor to discuss.
Sarah wants to put something on the floor, I believe.
I wanted to speak to
there's no switch on that. Just talking to
it's not holding. That's the one that doesn't
hello?
Work.
Hello? Oh. Okay. So I just wanted to clarify, you know, the agenda item that I...
Oh, excuse me. Laura Privis sent something out, by the way. And it should be in your emails if you can access your emails. If you want, somebody can read it. And I don't feel like reading.
I'll read it.
How about some, Sarah? Would you like to read it? Okay, Janet, read it.
Okay, and the subject line, all right. Credibility means everything. I mean, does it start there? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Credibility means everything to a media organization. Part of the job of program director is to ensure that listeners can continue to come to KPFA as a trusted source of information. Gary Knoll is not a credible source for health information. Knoll has denied that HIV causes AIDS and that AIDS is a sexually transmitted disease. Knoll has built a career of selling remedies, supplements, and alternative medical advice. His most advanced credential for his advice on life-threatening diseases is a PhD in human nutrition and public health sciences from Union Institute and University, a private distance learning college based in Cincinnati, Ohio. He has personally profited off sales from his products used as thank you gifts on his radio show a violation of FCC rules. The majority of the KPFA board rejected previous interim general manager Andrew Phillips' suggestion to put Gary Null's radio show on KPFA before it even became an actual proposal. KPFA has a serious responsibility to provide its listeners with accurate, science-based information on public health, most especially on issues that could potentially cause harm to people. Whether or not to invite Gary Null on the KPFA airwaves is not an issue of censorship. It is, however, about protecting the public airwaves from misinformation and from people who stand to profit by offering dubious remedies to sick and vulnerable listeners. KPFA has covered and will continue to cover the many issues around vaccines and immunization using the best practices of independent and verifiable journalism.
Thank you.
Samsara, did you want to talk?
Quick question, who's that email from?
Laura Privis.
Who is?
The program director, who is the person who made the decision about not using him, et cetera.
Okay, so, that's her opinion of Mr. Null and his situation and why the decision was made that he shouldn't be on the air. I just want to have had the time today to hear that and to also look at other issues that, you know, are controversial, that are against the status quo, that just because you don't have a certain kind of PhD doesn't mean that you don't have information that is valuable, and especially someone who's not speaking on behalf of Big Pharma. I think the concern that was voiced earlier today by the folks who were here and from other parents and from people that I certainly serve is that the opinion of Big Pharma is very well stated. And that there is another opinion and there is other information that's having a hard time finding the light of day. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has done some speaking recently and written a book focusing on one additive in vaccines, which is thimerosal, and has talked about how difficult it is for him to get any time on any media outlets whatsoever to discuss what he considers are big problems with that additive. And he is pro-vaccine. He has vaccinated his children, and he still has concern about this particular additive, and with the new vaccine schedule, if this bill passes, the amount of thimerosal that children would be asked to have in their bodies as well as adults, because it would be soon, the next step would be mandated vaccines for everybody, not just for kids. So I just, you know, I was alarmed to hear that any voice would not be able to, I mean, this is a community radio station, and there's some voices in the community that we might not agree with, but I would hope that there would still be a place for them to be heard with the caveat of, well, this is who this man is, and, you know, these are his bona fides, and take his word as you take it.
Okay, I'll be very brief.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Use the microphone, please.
Point of order.
Well, it just seems to me imperative that we cover item D and not put it off until July, and I think it's a rather simple matter, and I would like to get it done.
It's off the agenda. It's not on the agenda.
Yes, it is.
Can I clarify?
Yes.
PNB
so Janet says it was off
The reason why it was on the agenda, it was on last month's agenda, actually it was on an earlier agenda, was because there was there were contested seats on the governance committee.
That has been resolved.
And that was resolved at the last meeting. Yes.
Yeah.
And by an STV vote. And so you and Virginia are the two.
Okay, so it's done.
There we go. Okay.
Congratulations.
Okay.
Da, da, da,
no,
da,
the
da.
Governance committee's the best. Okay. Do I get to talk now? Okay. I want to say that there are many, many people who can speak on the issue of vaccinations, who will speak about why they are a health risk and why people shouldn't have them. And we don't need to have Gary Null. Gary Null is a discredited voice in the progressive community, and he is held in, I don't know what the word is, extreme disrepute. Gay activists across the country are horrified by the role that Null has played in the discussion around AIDS and HIV. And we would, I think, jeopardize a valuable relationship that we have with many gay activists in the Bay Area who like KPFA, who like our programming, who listen to our radio shows, if we promoted his things. The other thing I want to say is that throughout the network, there has been a great deal of discussion, especially at the PMB level and during discussions around budgets, about the fact that Gary Null's premiums are extremely expensive. And so, you know, people pay $100 for one of his things, and you end up netting about 10. And, you know, it's just not appropriate, and it's a problem. And Laura's message outlined all of these problems. We don't need Gary Null to have a debate about vaccines. And I just recently heard, Lena Berman, what did I just hear? I just recently heard a program, I think it was Lena Berman, who did a program on vaccines that I thought was very thoughtful. And, you know, maybe whatever his name is, Kennedy Jr., let's ask him to come on KPFA and talk about it. But let's have a genuine debate, and we don't need someone who is disgraced and discredited being on our airwaves. Thank you.
Frank, Brian, Janet.
I kind of agree with a little bit of everything, you know. I don't know how much of a disgrace he is, or I haven't researched him completely myself. I've heard what I've heard at KPFA and amongst mostly these conversations. Full Circle had a guy on the other day called Dr. Sebi. He claims he can cure cancer by eating the right foods.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people out there. I'm not sure what Lena Berman's qualifications are, but I think she calls herself a health practitioner. I don't know what her PhD is or what kind of doctor she is. A health educator, and she gives out a lot of advice. She has the caveat at the beginning of her show on who she is and what her qualifications are. We also have the Herbal Highway. I don't know what kind of PhD you need to do herbs. I know it's a very complicated thing. So I feel a little bit of every side. I think by other people asking Bonnie, you know, have this person instead or have that person, because the person you're picking is not credible. It's making the decision for her. And I think a lot of us feel that Bonnie Faulkner herself is a credible person. And if this is the person she chooses to have, you're controlling, like, who she gets to pick. You know, no one came and said we couldn't have Dr. Sebi on because he can cure cancer with broccoli or with the right foods. About the money, I agree about the price of premiums and stuff. It's kind of strange, though, when we see the shoe is on the other foot and I can bring in a CD that's donated completely free and then demand $80 for a donation when somebody has a price they set for their products and then we only make 10 bucks or whatever we end up making. We're still making money. The shoe happens to be on the other foot that the person that's providing it is also making money. I know there's legal ramifications, though, for being part of the broadcast. So with what he was offering was a DVD that talks about the vaccination scandal. He produced it. He, as far as I understand, has written it. So I feel there's a lot of there's a lot of controls being happening here. If you're saying he's not credible, it's kind of like saying Bonnie's not credible for picking this person. You know, it's up to Bonnie. You said he's not a credible practitioner, a credible person to do health advice or whatever. A lot of people have strange degrees and still practice their ways. If Bonnie chose this person and wanted to keep his conversation limited to vaccines and the bill that is widely important right now, the bill that's widely important right now, maybe we could have talked about limiting him to just that and discussing the price of those DVDs that he was going to offer us and see if it was fair to us or not and see if we still were going to make money. What was the possibility? What was the possibility of the money we could have made if he charged us what he did? We have no say in that. We didn't have no option.
Brian?
Yeah, this is one of those moments when I'm really glad I'm not the program director. You know, I expect to and welcome hearing things on KPFA that I disagree with and that are controversial generally. And there are very few places where I think a station like us should draw the line on anything. But when I try to think of bright line examples, they're where we have a responsibility to public health. One place I would draw a bright line is by putting anyone on the air who is telling people HIV does not cause AIDS. That is health advice that will get people killed. It literally puts blood on our hands, and it flies in the face of a complete scientific consensus. There is no legitimate debate on that matter, any more than there is any legitimate scientific debate over whether industrial pollution is causing climate change. A second place I would draw that line is over blanket allegations that vaccines cause autism, which is what another position that Gary Null is proposing. There was a paper published to that effect on The Lancet in the late 1990s. It is the only paper that was ever retracted by that publication. The doctor who authored it, Andrew Wakefield, had his license to practice medicine revoked. He was found to have falsified his own data, and he had a company on the side that was selling a vaccine that was an alternative to the triple mumps, measles, rubella vaccine that his paper was about. He was making money off falsified research, and that is the basis for these allegations. And again, this is advice that gets people killed. Now, you can have a debate about a flu vaccine, right? There's controversy about that. Big Pharma makes a lot of money off vaccines that people have to take every year, and that's a vaccine that's of particularly limited efficacy. But you can't take anyone seriously who makes a blanket statement about all vaccines. Vaccination wiped out smallpox. It kills 30% of the people it infects. Polio. We don't have that thanks to vaccination. Measles, one of the most virulent diseases we have. 90% of exposures result in infection. My grandmother couldn't see out of one eye because the measles she had as a kid. To a kid who's on chemotherapy or immunocompromised, measles is a deadly disease. And the only protection they have that they can rely on because they can't get vaccinated in that situation is the people around them being immune to the disease. I just feel like it's the height of irresponsibility to take something like this in a fund drive and start selling Gary Null's work for him, particularly when we are selling work that will kill people if they follow the advice we are selling. And I do think fund drive, when we are full-throatedly endorsing someone's product and distributing it for them and they are making money off it, I do think fund drive choices have to meet a higher bar than any other type of editorial content.
Janet.
Yes, I am aware that Gary Null is controversial. I do not know that he actually said HIV does not cause AIDS. I think that might be spin on what he's saying. But I don't know. I'm just saying he's controversial. There are controversies about science-based arguments that the approach to scientific, whatever the way that things are studied and whatever inquiries are, is biased or is not that there is other ways to do it. So you know, to find out what's going on, and it kind of creates a whole narrative about how we should look at things. So that's also controversial from what I have discovered. About the premiums, it is my understanding that, as Margie pointed out, that the net is very small. And for KPFA or any of our stations to sell or premiums, there's a formula that so that for a nonprofit. And I think that that's part of the problem, and auditors are concerned about that as well. So that's an issue. You know, whether Gary Null would be interviewed on a show without that's not promoting his premiums, I don't know if he would do that. So it's sort of a way for him to sell his premiums. In any case, I have a motion. I move to post Laura Privis's statement as to why Bonnie Faulkner's show and her guest Gary Null and not offering his films as fund drive premiums be posted to the KPFA website to inform our listeners who are wondering why and asked why, and people came here during public comment asking, and there's all this buzz and people
it's already posted to KPFA. Oh, it's LSB open.
Right.
But it's the open list.
Right, but the only people who can see that are LSB members, so it needs to...
No, it's the open list. It
comes in to the open list. Laura Privitz posted it, but the only people who can see what's posted to the LSB open list are LSB members. So there needs to be a way to get it out to the public. I'm proposing that it be posted to the website, KPFA website, or somewhere, some way.
It's already on KPFA's Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I withdraw my motion.
Thank you.
All right. We have, it's 3:56. The list is closed. All right. The list is, okay. We're going to put Lewis on the list. The list is Ramses, Mal, Cynthia, Barbara, Lewis.
Till we finish.
No, you're all
gonna. I propose we just finish the list and adjourn, and that's it. Because we've been waiting for hours, all of us. All right. So I'll make my points quick. I appreciate hearing and learning from a lot of you about what you know and you know what you think also about vaccines and all that. There's many things I've learned just in the last 48 hours, I think, because of this, right? Personally, I've had my times when I question what's being put into my body in regards to vaccines, right? So I take very serious when people put time and effort to put some of their activism and their advocacy into that, right? Into really questioning that whole industry, especially when I see that drugs and pharmaceuticals are just being thrown at people through the corporatized medical health industry, you know, like nothing, right? And you see the people mainly benefiting are these corporations making so much money, right? And I'm like, I see like flu vaccines every year, it's time to go get one, but I still see people at least as sick as much as the last year, right? So I'm always wondering like, what is this? You know, how much, you know, how much of this is real, how much is not, right? And I said, therefore, because there's always those two questions going on in the public, it's great to see both sides of it, right? And again, circling back to the show, I hope the, you know, first I want to say thank you to Laura for putting that statement and putting that email out, because people have been wanting an actual response, right? And I think it's great that she went out and did that herself. Right? It's public. It's all over the place. There is officially a response from KPFA about it, whether we still have issues with it or not. Like, at least it's out there, because and that's being demanded so much from us in the last few days. I hope that somewhere in the mechanism of the programming, they recognize how to look ahead at issues like this that may come up. This is probably not the last time we have somebody or a topic that's controversial or people question or not sure about that may come on the show. I don't know. I don't want to get into this now, but I hope Laura and other folks that, you know, in the station really look into how to get through a situation like this better than how we just did, right? I still want to actually maybe hear the show and see if it's made available just to learn more about it. But what's that?
She's gonna post it on her website.
Okay. But I don't want to give this guy, Gary, you know, and other issues more attention than they deserve. I, you know, as a member of the LSB, I want to see how the station can handle this type of situation better, you know, than outright like, oh, my God, we didn't know this was happening. It's controversial. Let's cut it. And then suddenly there's like hundreds, you know, of listeners complaining about censorship and so on, which I personally never felt it was happening, but I also couldn't say it wasn't until I actually learned something myself from within KPFA about what is happening, right? So I want to say thanks to Laura for that. Some of that makes sense. I'm sure this ain't the end of it, but I know it'd be great that we learn from this and know how to deal with this moving forward.
Okay, Mal.
To put it bluntly, Gary Noel is a quack. If you just ask 95% of the medical profession, and that's a small percentage, I mean, it really is probably higher, vaccines save lives, and they don't cause diseases. The medical profession, the scientific studies are quite clear on that. And while the drug companies may make money selling vaccines, they are not responsible for the facts that the scientific community has found. I mean, the drug companies make money off everything. So we can't say, well, just because they're making money, things are wrong. That's it.
Cynthia, pass Cynthia a microphone. She's got one.
Actually, drug companies can make a lot of money off of vaccines because everybody has to take them. And of course there are public health issues involved with vaccines. But if you could just see the list of what new babies get as opposed to what they got 20 years ago. I mean, believe it or not, I still believe in some kind of free speech. And pharma, big pharma, will now be making decisions about all of the drugs. They really will. I'm not against vaccines. I mean, I get them. But what I am against in the whole vaccine issue is the mandate. The mandate. People were getting, parents were taking about 95% of vaccines anyway. So, and also the whole issue of Gary Null. I certainly wasn't a bit surprised to see Laura's thing, because this has happened before. I've been shouted at by activists from KPFA that I, you know, I don't know. Maybe I need to do more research about Gary Null. I don't know if he said that about HIV. But back in the late 70s when I was getting a holistic degree, because I was so distressed what I saw in hospitals, he was well regarded by certain alternatives. If he has said that about HIV, that is not good. Nevertheless, you know, I don't believe that's what he was going to talk about exactly. So I wasn't surprised to see that what Laura wrote, because we've gone through that before in KPFA. People are upset about him. He's a controversial person, but I would have thought that it could have been handled a little bit differently. He probably, you know, in a way to say, talk about, he's going to talk about what he believes in with vaccines, and it's a free choice, and maybe all these reasons are true, but there just hasn't been, to my knowledge, maybe you said there was something on Open Circle about vaccines. I haven't heard the other side on KPFA either. I mean, the various points of view about vaccines on KPFA, so maybe there were other people she could have gotten, but then maybe Laura could have spoken to Bonnie before or something like that if we're so concerned about it. And, well, I just think...
15 seconds.
Okay, well, I guess that's it. But we still... You know, Gary Null has... I was thinking that HIV was just one tiny part of what he does, and maybe some of it is credible.
Barbara's next, and then Lewis.
I have one really short thing, and that is that to Samsara, you said this is one person's opinion. You were talking about Laura. But really, there was a whole bunch of opinion that went into this standard. So it's not just her opinion. I just wanted to point that out. Previously to, you know, before this particular incident.
So, oh my God, there's so much. Firstly, you know, I feel really sad hearing that there are some people who will not be allowed to speak because what they say is perceived to be dangerous. And there, I think that is the whole opposite of what free speech is. Free speech is that we allow the people to speak even if what they say might be quote-unquote dangerous because they have the right to say it. And the opinion that HIV does not cause AIDS is not just an opinion that is held by Gary Null. There are other people who have that opinion, and they may be totally wrong and crazy, but there are people who... Yeah. Everybody gets to hear everybody's opinion. This is the United States of America, last I heard.
Samsara has the floor.
So, you know, otherwise we're talking about censorship, if that is censorship, and if the policy of KPFA is that, okay, here is the boundary at which we will not, this is free speech up to this point. Beyond this point, we won't allow it because we perceive it to be dangerous. Who took that vote? And that's really dangerous and sad to me. That's not free speech. There are scientific opinions that folks had 50 years ago that have been disproven today. We don't know. Everyone's doing the best they can to make the best decisions for their bodies and for their kids' bodies, you know? And so, yeah, you know, we could talk about, this is a very controversial person. It should be up to the interviewer to point all these things out to the audience. This person is here. This is who he is. This is what he said in the past. This is what we're going to talk about today, if it's germane. I mean, so I just think that I hear these boundaries were made, and I just, you know, if they were already in place before this was done, I just wish that, you know, it could have been done in such a way to not cause such a big yanking in the community. And when people show up from the community to talk about this, that, you know, it can be addressed. That I think part of the thing that's upsetting me is that the feeling that the people who showed up with the concern for the unpopular idea are considered crazy people, and so we can just dismiss them because what they say is not valid, and so it could just be dismissed. And that's I don't support that.
Lewis.
I don't think anybody supports that. The point is that the issue is not free speech here. It's being framed that way. But the issue is a competency and our own guidelines as to who will go on the air. We don't put people on the air to sell their shit. And that's what we'd be doing with Gary Null. The issue is Gary Null, not free speech. Thank you. And with that, I'd like to move to adjourn.
Is there a second? All in favor, please march. All who want to stay, you can stay. It is 4:08.